Welcome to Payment Matters. I'm your host, Jeff Lynn. Thanks for tuning in today. On the show, we talk about the ever-changing landscape of healthcare payments and the impacts to healthcare payers, providers, and consumers. You can follow the conversation on Twitter at hashtag Payment Matters and follow me at Jeff D. Lynn. My guest for today's episode is Luis Montes, Senior Vice President of Strategic Partnerships for Casamba, a technology company that develops healthcare management software solutions. Luis, thanks for joining us today. And maybe for the audience and the listeners out here today, do you mind telling me about your background and experience?
Sure, Jeff. Yes, and thanks again for inviting me to Payment Matters to discuss issues in healthcare. And yeah, my background spans over the past 20 years. I'm a healthcare geek, I would say. I'm a physical therapist, actually, by background, but have been on the management side for most of my career. I started managing outpatient therapy clinics, and then I actually entered the business and had my own clinics. I expanded it into two clinics and some consulting services for orthopedic surgeons on how to run their own physical therapy practices. So I did that for a while and then sold that business and got into the medical device world. I got the technology bug. Technology always interested me. So I joined a company that did technology, particularly medical devices in post-acute care. My job there was to develop all the business for the company in the Midwest and the Southeast. And that company grew rapidly, ACP. And we got acquired by Hanger Orthopedics. We did a lot of work around virtual reality and motorized bike ergometry and electrical stimulation, ultrasound systems, and things like that, particularly in post-acute care. And following that, I went back actually to the provider space, and I was running home healthcare operations and outpatient clinics for a provider in the Chicagoland area, which is a multinational company there. And again, I got the technology bug, and I started a company. Solved the physician signature problems for home health agencies. There was a pervasive problem there, a lot of documentations that needed to get signed by physicians, and we kind of digitized that, and we kind of like developed a DocuSign but for home health agencies. And then from there, one thing led to another. I ended up with Casamba, and Casamba is an electronic medical records company, and we specialize again in healthcare management systems for post-acute care. We're in about 12,000 sites across the country, working with home health agencies, working with outpatient therapy clinics, and working with skilled nursing home facilities as well. That's a little bit of my background.
Got it. So I'll call it the who's who, and you've done, I think, everything you can in the healthcare, which is great. So it's interesting to hear. We've had a lot of hospitals and payers and a lot of software vendors on this show. But, I think that it'd be helpful maybe for the audience to describe the nuances and the differences in the post-acute care space. And, what is that? And how should our listeners be thinking about the nuances and the problems involved in this space? Do you mind helping out and explaining that?
Sure. Yeah, I'll be happy to. I think that the importance of post-acute care, I think, in healthcare is growing dramatically, and it's becoming a more prominent setting. It has become a prominent setting, over the past 10 years or so. And the primary reason is because as, payers try to save money, especially our largest payer, which is Medicare, we don't see that patients stay in hospitals for much longer, right? If you had a hip replacement, let's say 20 years ago, you might stay in the hospital for a good week and then maybe go into an inpatient rehab facility and stay there for a month. But the velocity of the care now in hospital systems is much, much faster. Obviously, technology, the surgeries have gotten better, but patients are, discharging right away to a more cost-effective care setting. And the post-acute care, that continuum offers that efficiency, right? So we have at the highest end of post-acute care, inpatient rehab facilities or long-term care, acute care hospitals, or LTACs, you know, as they call it. There's all kinds of acronyms in post-acute care. Inpatient rehab facilities are IRFs, long-term acute care centers are called LTACs. And those are the settings in where patients will stay for a little bit longer. They typically require a certain, you know, amount of therapy. Let's say they need to qualify, let's say, for 3 hours of rehab, for example, in the IRF setting. Obviously, you know, the cost there is higher, but per day, but it's again cheaper than in the hospital system. So if a hospital system is participating in the bundled care, for example, if they're in value-based care or, you know, in bundled payment models, you know, it makes a lot of sense for those hospitals to discharge right away to, let's say, an IRF or an LTAC, or even to a more cost-effective care would be a skilled nursing home facility, which, you know, in the past, your audience is more familiar perhaps with nursing homes, but nursing homes really are shifting now into a more rehab-oriented setting, and now they're called skilled nursing home facilities and rehab centers. There's a lot of rehab going on right now in skilled nursing home facilities, in where we have complex patients, perhaps patients that cannot tolerate as much rehab, let's say, as an IRF, or patients that are not as ill, for example, as in an LTAC. They would qualify for skilled nursing home facility services. And then we have the most cost efficient setting in post-acute care will be home health care, right? In where the cost of care there is, you know, averages around, you know, $50 or so per day, you know, compared to the highest level of care, which would be like an IRF, which will be around $600 to $800 per day. But again, cheaper than the hospital. So that kind of gives you an idea of what post-acute care is. But what we see is that we see a lot of players coming into the space, a lot of consolidation in the space too. In fact, out of the M&A deals that were done in 2018, about 30% of them were done, you know, in the post-acute care. So we see a lot of growth in that area. And I think, you know, I believe that the reason for that growth is due to value-based payment models and being able to improve the efficiency of care.
Wow. So you mentioned that you're seeing 30% growth in the post-acute care segment. How would you describe your patient population that is seen by all these various providers?
Yeah, sure. I want to mention that 30%, like of all the M&A deals that were done, you know, in 2018, about 30% of that, so around $121 billion worth of M&A activity in healthcare. In 2018, about 30% of that was in post-acute care. So there's a lot of movement there. There's a lot of growth there. I don't know exactly what's the growth, but the percentage M&A deals that are current is substantial.
I call the macro conditions of kind of the aging population is booming post-acute care, right?
Yeah.
Across the board.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So I think that there's two forces there, right? Like the growth is due primarily, I think, to the fact that, you know, patients are just, you know, not staying in hospitals too much, you know, for too long, and then hospital systems that are participating in value-based care models such as bundle payments, for example, are referring patients a lot more to post-acute care. And certainly, like you mentioned, the baby boom population that is just growing substantially, right, also contributes to that growth. Now, to answer your question, you know, the patient population that we see here, you know, we see a lot of seniors, certainly in this space, you know, so we see the predominant payer being Medicare. But we also seen a shift. You know, I just had a good friend of mine that, you know, suffered, you know, in his 40s, and you know, he suffered a really bad knee injury and fractured his, I believe, I think it was his elbow or and his knee, and he ended up actually in a skilled nursing facility. You never think that a healthy 40-year-old would end up in a what we called years ago a nursing home, but he did, because he needed rehab, and that was the best place for him to do rehab, because he needed also more services from, let's say, nurses and physicians and things like that. But yeah, I mean, we're seeing that we still see that I think for the most part, especially in inpatient rehab, especially in skilled nursing facilities and home health, we see a large Medicare population. In LTACs, you're seeing a younger population because we're seeing there more patients with acute neuro conditions and or traumatic brain injuries per se. But we're also seeing a very a lot more acute population, right? Because hospitals are discharging sooner. We're seeing patients in the in IRFs and skilled nursing facilities and even home health agencies with a lot more complex conditions, a lot more acuity than ever before.
Got it. So it, you know, it's interesting here. So it sounds like you're really addressing the broad population here, especially as hospitals are offloading a lot of the called the medical services to these post-acute care facilities.
Right.
You know, there's been a lot of talk about consumerism and consumer experience here. What's your take on that, and kind of what's, you know, how is Casamba helping in those endeavors?
I think that's really important right now in post-acute care, and we see it at different levels, but you know, it's happening a lot. I mean, and this is where it's happening, but at the same time, consolidation, I think it's hurting because consolidation leads to, you know, less competition, which usually leads to less quality. But overall, I think that the healthcare providers are thinking now more than ever about the experience of the customer. So it's not just, I mean, outcomes are important, but also what is the experience? So we do see that the healthcare consumer in post-acute care is taking more time to research their providers and choosing where they receive care. Especially, you know, those folks with high deductible plans and you know, big co-payments are being forced to really research, you know, where they're going to go for services. And they're looking into, and even their loved ones, you know, are looking into, you know, what's the best inpatient rehab facility, or what's the best skilled nursing facility, home health agency, or outpatient clinic that I'm going to go to. In fact, you know, even Medicare is getting into this as well. So for example, in skilled nursing and home health, there are two websites. One's called Skilled Nursing Compare and Home Healthcare Compare, which basically compare, you know, all of the players or all of the skilled nursing facilities and home health agencies across the country. And it does rank them and compare their star rating. And it's, you know, they've come up with a five-star rating system, which entail quality, nurse-to-staff ratio, therapist-to-staff ratio, and even also the experience of the patients. So consumers are looking into it, and we're also seeing more patients more patient-generated feedback out there more than ever before, through whether it's social media, you know, or apps like Yelp or Google or ZocDoc, which also ranks physicians and things of that nature. So we're seeing that in post-acute care, this is becoming, you know, really, really important. And because there's growth and there's a lot of competition, facilities, agencies are taking this very seriously. It is not uncommon now to walk into a skilled nursing facility and feel that you are part of a hotel, part of, you know, high-end you know, spa or gym. You know, we see that there's a lot more investment in technology, in medical devices. There's more investment in the quality of the food and the premises and the aesthetics and all of that. So it's becoming critical for skilled nursing facilities and inpatient rehab facilities to invest in this, because consumers are taking notice, and I think that's a great thing.
That's a great thing. Yeah, and if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Payment Matters. I'm joined by Luis Montes, Senior Vice President of Strategic Partnerships at Casamba. I want to take that point here. You highlighted that becoming more and more consumer-centric, especially looking like a hotel, using Yelp, using all these new technology. And I kind of want to take a point here. Technology has been a big part of that. We're seeing a lot of new companies come into the fold to try to address the healthcare challenges today. What's your take on this? What do you think is there some technologies or things that you're seeing being adopted with your customers that are that should be top of mind and that are important for your customers today?
Yeah, definitely, for sure. So I when I look at across, you know, post acute care, there's like three major micro trends, right, that are impacting this particular space, and then the technologies really that we're seeing are fitting this macro trends basically. So I think we discussed a little bit before, but you know, the shift in value based care and payment reform is huge, right? So the payment reform is gearing towards a more collaborative form of healthcare, which is great. You know, whereas before we saw a lot of silos in post acute care, we're seeing a lot more collaboration because bundle payments initiatives, like, you know, the bundle payment care initiative or CJR, or whether it's PDPM or PDGM, and you know, I can keep throwing acronyms out there, but everything revolves around, you know, the collaboration, right, across the continuum of care to drive costs down, to improve the patient experience. So that macro trend lends itself towards a more collaborative, basically, network across the entire continuum of care. And so we're seeing a lot of technologies that are popping up here, right? So we see technologies that allow, for example, for systems to communicate back and forth. So interoperability becomes critical here, right? So how can healthcare providers, you know, share information when and they're referring patients? How can they share information when that patient is getting discharged? Because now, you know, the hospital and the SNF, they both might have skin in the game, right? Or the hospital, the SNF, and the home health agency might have, you know, a mutual goal now of cost saving because they're all at risk, or they're collaborating, you know, to make sure that the patient's getting a good outcome. So the technologies around collaboration of care, around being able to communicate with one another, around trying to, you know, exchange information, share information with one another, those technologies are taking a very prominent place in post-acute care.
Got it.
Yeah.
When you look at these new technologies here, clearly there's a lot of investment being done there. And you talked, you know, some of them about beforehand, also about the new payment models that are happening. What are you seeing in the payment space, either from payers paying the providers or the patients, and how, you know, how has that changed over the years for you guys?
Right. Yeah. So, like I say, like in post-acute care, I think the payment reform is more geared now towards risk sharing, and it's more geared now towards also a patient-driven model, right? So it's completely shifting away from fee-for-service, as we still see a lot of fee-for-service, you know, in the hospital, because Medicare is the largest payer in post-acute care. We're starting to see a lot of providers adopting some of these experiments that Medicare has put forth over the past 10 years, and they're becoming more prevalent. So bundle payments, for example, right? That's that was a big initiative by CMS that has taken root. ACOs, accountable care organizations, is the same. So in where, you know, Medicare is paying now a lump of money, you know, a per condition, right? And then that saving then is being shared across the entire continuum of care. So the payment is made now for a knee replacement, for example, to the hospital or to a physician group, but that payment will then spread across the entire continuum, right? So instead of paying, let's say, 5,000 or, you know, 10,000 to the hospital, and then, you know, 5,000 to the inpatient rehab facility, and then, you know, another 5,000 to the home health agency, that's all being paid to the, let's say, to the at-risk entity. It could be a convener, or it could be a physician group, or it could be a hospital group, and then that cost saving then is getting shared, you know, across a continuum of care. The SNF still gets paid, the home health agencies still gets paid, but sometimes, you know, that cost saving to Medicare is getting shared across the continuum of care. So these are interesting experiments that they're taking. They're taking a lot of picking up a lot of steam, basically. with the patient-driven grouping models, which is a PDGM in home health, or patient-driven payment models that we see in SNF, somewhat similar in where now, you know, we're seeing payments that are not geared towards, again, fee-for-service or how much visits that you're doing, or, you know, how much therapy you're, for example, you're providing. It's more about what is the condition of that patient, right? You know, what is the diagnosis of that patient? What are the comorbidities? You know, what was the hospitalization like? What are the surgeries like? You know, and then coming up with a payment model for that one particular patient based on different, you know, algorithms. Again, that requires a lot of collaboration upon the referral, for example, and care coordination between the hospital and the SNF provider, or the hospital and the home health agency. So communication becomes critical. So payments are definitely what we see, in at least in post-acute care, definitely shifting away from fee-for-service, shifting away from volume-based reimbursement, and more geared towards, you know, a bundle payment, more geared towards the patient condition, and definitely more geared towards cost saving, right? So how much, how efficient can we be in providing services for the payer?
When I hear this, which is, that's great. It sounds like the outcomes-based model that we're hearing more and more across the industry. Is payments an issue for the segment, or has yeah. a lot of this been, or not? I guess I'm interested in your perspective on where you see the pain points on payments, or maybe there's no pain points on payments.
No, well, you know, given that healthcare is a for profit endeavor, you know, the payments are always an issue, right? So, it is an issue, and it is in post acute care. It's most of the payments are, if not all payments, with the exception of outpatient rehab or outpatient therapy, which is not really part of post acute care, but in post acute care, in the continuum that we're discussing right now. This is all institutional billing, right? And the majority of it is done through Medicare Part A. So the ability to document is critical, and the ability to communicate and share information across providers is becoming even more important. So for example, like for a home health agency to bill, right? Let's just you know, give you that particular setting. They need a referral, obviously from a physician. Then a nurse or a therapist needs to go out to see the patient. They need to get a plan of care signed. So they need to get a referral from the physician. The plan of care that the therapist is making or the nurse is making needs to go back to that physician. They need to review that plan of care and then sign the plan of care and then sign whatever orders that are being made. You know, whether there's any wound dressings for that patient, or you know, any medications or goals or interventions that are being assigned on the plan of care. All of that documentation needs to go to the physicians for signature, for example, right? If they don't get all of that within a particular, you know, amount of time, with PDGM now is 30 days, that could delay reimbursement. So the velocity of, you know, getting all this documentation back becomes critical. It's not so different in the skilled nursing facility. It's somewhat similar, right? And then the ability to enter and to document the right information, particularly on Medicare's instrument set. So in SNF, you have the Medicare data set, or MDS. In home health, you have what is called the OASIS. It's another assessment set. And these are very large documents, actually, that clinicians need to document in and enter in all kinds of information, from, you know, functional assessments to ADL assessments to, you know, diagnosis and comorbidities. And all of this information actually is entered into, you know, a variety of algorithms that Medicare comes up that will determine the payment for that patient. So if you're not entering in all this information accurately, if you're not getting all of this paperwork back from your physicians, that could delay payment. So it's critical that we collect all this information at the outset, right, to be able to bill. And then, of course, you know, it's because we're billing through an institutional claim, the claim management, you know, and the ability to monitor and manage, you know, all of these claims become critical. So here at Casamba, for example, we partner very tightly with many different claim management software that integrate into our, you know, into our billing modules, so our clients can properly monitor, you know, all claims through that revenue cycle management. But it's critical, and it's tricky to get. And there are some economies of scale there that are leveraged among larger providers that allow them to be more efficient and to have better cash flows. And this is also why we're seeing so much consolidation, because we're seeing that a lot of smaller players in post-acute care are not nearly as efficient as the larger players when it comes to billing.
These are the payment matters we're tackling today. And thank you once again to my guest, Luis Montes, for joining me today. Yeah. Where can our listeners go to learn more about you?
Oh, thanks, Jeff. Okay, Casamba.net. We have a very active blog there. A lot of information there too about healthcare reform. So we have a PDPM and a PDGM calendar, for example, and then a lot of information about payment reform and or regulatory matters within our website as well.
Great, and thank you to all of you listening in. Remember that you can listen into this episode weekdays at 4:30 a.m., 12:30 p.m., and 8:30 p.m. Eastern. You can also listen to this on Apple Podcasts and Google Play Music, or just say, Alexa, play Healthcare Now Radio. If you have a comment about the episode of the show, follow hashtag Payment Matters or connect with me on Twitter at Jeff B. Lynn. You can learn more about the show at healthcarenowradio.com or at insmed.com. Until next time, I'm Jeff Lynn.